Hello, everyone. My name is Jin Hoang, as introduced. My co-authors are K.K. Ramakrishna from Rutgers University, and Timothy Ude from George Washington University is my advisor. And my paper is on NetVM. We achieved like high performance and flexible networking using virtualization on the commodity platforms. Let's move on. So everybody loves high performance networking. So what are the like line rate high performance machines out there? So we always buy like a special hardware and a software comes together, very expensive cost. You have to pay like a lot of money, and it's really hard to upgrade, replace, and to scale it out. So people try to get the better machines in the commodity servers. So I show you some of the examples, like a Packet Shader and a Silicon 2010, and the authors are here, I know. So I'm gonna say the good things about it. So they leverage like a GPU and chips like a 40 gigabps. It's really good. And the next system is NetMap ATC 2012, and they run on the commodity servers and achieves very high performance. Also, Intel released DPD gates, data plane and development kit. They run on the commodity servers and the commodity NICs. So we have a question about with all these systems. So data centers are deployed into the virtualized platforms. We can ask like the performance in the virtualized platform, what is about it? And we can think about this overlay model that if the package comes into the system, that goes from the NIC card to the host operating system, virtual switch, virtual NIC, and the guest operating system, and the guest user space. And the application processes, it has to go all the way down to the NIC card again through the same path, right? So it has we have a lot of overhead that we have to overcome to deploy these systems in the virtualized platform. Okay, with this, people come up with ideas like how to, deploy these functions. There is the fancy name called like a network functions virtualization. So people try to come up with the idea how to do it. To compare, we have existing network functions like a router, the firewall, load balancer, and CDN, content delivery network, and data deep packet inspection and WAN accelerator. So if you think about these functions come with the special hardware, we have to pay a lot of costs, like six machines times power and the times hardware cost and the software cost. So we have to pay a lot. But instead, if we have like a virtual platform, you deploy these functions on the top of the virtualized platform that you can dynamically deploy it, and you pay like a cost, very less cost, like one machine and a power and the software only. So if we have these kind of very good systems, but still we have limitations in performance, right? So we have to provide very good performance to have these network functions in order to process packet in the fast way. So we have to overcome that. And if we look at these each functions independently, they run independently. But if we, they figure out how they are related in terms of like a processing packet, so they always like a sequentially processing packet in the network. So if a packet comes into the network, they process like a deep packet inspection, a firewall, an accelerator, router. All these like a sequential processes are like handled by each servers. But if we deploy this in the virtualized platform, we probably have opportunity to the process in a way that in a parallel way, or we process the packets between these the functions in a fast way, right? Gives us more opportunity to do that. Also, that we can deploy network functions in a dynamic way. So if we need more functions, you can just deploy it and hook up with the other functions and the processed packets. So it gives us a lot of opportunities. But the problem is that we cannot achieve as good performance as existing systems. So in this case, we have to overcome like a high speed inter-VM communications to deliver the packets among the different functions. Right. So with all these three challenges, what NetVM has done? NetVM is a platform for running complex network functionality at the line speed. We target like 10 gigabps at the beginning, and using commodity hardware. So the NetVM actually retrofit the KVM and DPDK with a series of innovations like as follows: like a virtualization based high speed packet delivery, and memory sharing framework for the network data, and hypervisor based switching, and the high-speed inter-VM communication, and the security domains. Before I go one by one, I'm going to introduce some of the backgrounds that what platform we are actually implementing this. Okay, so we target the COTS, commercial off-the-shelf servers, so you can buy like online. And we also utilize the DPDK. It is a set of to optimize the user space, the software and the library, then it allows us to access the NIC card directly and avoid this overhead incurred from the Linux kernel. So to compare, the user applications actually receive the packet through all these functions. So once the packet comes into the system, the operating system needs to handle it, and it has handled the interrupt, and it delivers the packet by copying the packet to the application. Application also has to system call to the operating system and copy the packet into the kernel space, and the kernel space can send out the packets. However, the DPDK actually provide all the complex functions in the user space, like buffer management, ring management, and the pole mode driver, and packet classification in the user space. So the application actually runs on the top of these libraries, the drivers, so they can actually pull the NIC card and get the packet directly DMA to the application space, and then they can handle it. So we avoid this overhead incurred in the three steps, like the packet copy, interrupt handling, and the system calls. So it gives us the good way of processing packets. Okay. So DPDK with the virtualization. What kind of architecture we can deploy with the DPDK, the virtualized platform? So we have two variations. The first one, so we deploy DPDK in the hypervisor layer, in the user space, and then you get the packets from the NIC card, and then you switch through the virtual switch to virtual NIC, and then the packet is received from the virtual machine and process it. But still, this while this gives us like a flexible configuration and dynamic configurations, and still gives us control over packet switching and the load balancing, still, but it has a lot of overhead, because once you get the packet in the hypervisor, you still have to go through all the layers that between the hypervisor and the virtual machine. And the second architecture we can think of is DPDK inside the virtual machine, that it gives us a pass-through mode that the application actually directly access to the NIC card, and then it gets packet, actually DMA the packet directly into the user space in the virtual machine. So this gives us some performance benefits. However, it allows us to have steady configurations, and inter-VM switch is very limited, because once packet comes into the system, it is always routed based on the L2, the address. So the packet should go to destined the virtual machine with the L2 space, the L2 address. But we don't have any functions so we can direct the packets based on the contents or header or something like that. Also, once the VMs are sharing this L2 switch, but if they share different switches, the packet comes into one switch and then go to one virtual machine, then if this virtual machine wants to forward this packet to another virtual machine which uses another port, then the packet has to go out of the machine and come back to the machine, then forward to another virtual machine. So it's inter-VM, the packet delivery is not so efficient. So, like I said, there's no control over packet switching and load balancing as well. On the top of that, the worst thing is that neither of these systems actually can support a full line rate network performance in the virtual machine layer. So we try to overcome this by having a NetVM. Let me show you how the NetVM architecture looks like. So this is a simplified NetVM architecture. We actually have a memory shared between the virtual machine and memory shared between the virtual machine and hypervisor. Once the packet DMA into the systems, and we share that packet across the hypervisor and the virtual machines all across, so that we can have a high performance. So let's see the flow of the packet, how it comes into the system. Once the packet comes into NIC, and it goes to the NetVM first, and the NetVM delivers that packet into shared memory, then it notify the VM through the ring buffer that there is a packet. It gives information about the location of the packet and the length of the packet and things like that. And then the applications inside the virtual machine that post this the ring buffer, and that it knows where the packet is, and it access to the shared memory to process the packet. So packet can be processed in a way, then you can manipulate and replace all these things if possible. So we had four design challenges to achieve this. The first one was zero copy. So in the system, once the packet comes in, you don't want to copy it, because it gives us a lot of cost. You have to pay a lot of cost. So we try to avoid the copy at all. And so huge page sharing. So all the applications, NetVM and the application user space application all run in the user space, right? So user space is handled by like virtual addresses. So we have to map in the user space in the hypervisor and the user space in the virtual machine. So we have to deal with this. And also the package should go from one virtual machine to another virtual machine by just sending this descriptor of the package. So we have to share all this memory across the virtual machine. And we avoided all the locks. Our system doesn't have any lock. And we also avoided the NUMA inefficiencies by having the aligned core and the queue design. And the important thing is the security, right? And the virtual machines don't want to interrupt each other, or they don't want to share any data between the virtual machines. So we guarantee like a minimum security between them, so ordinary friends can decide what to do, you know, when they have a different set of virtual machines belong to some other people's other parties. Okay, so let's see the why we the memory copy, the avoiding memory copy is so important. So if we think about the 10 gigabit PS, that it the 64 bytes. The size of packet that is interpreted like as the 14 million packets per second. So it should be handled in the systems as like a 67 nanoseconds. But if you see this sample graph from the website here, then as you can see, it shows the time, how much time it takes to copy 100 calls. So if you see the y-axis, that it shows 64 packet size. And it takes like 300 to 400 microseconds, right? So it's a lot higher than the time limit we have to process the packet to achieve 10 Gbps in the system. So we definitely have to avoid memory copy. So in the systems, we DMA the packet into the huge page shared across the virtual machines and the hypervisors. Once the packet comes in, we never move that packet. We can manipulate it, but we never move the packet. Instead, we deliver the packet descriptors to the virtual machine and across the virtual machine. So only some of the information about this real packet goes across the system and is handled by the application in the virtual machine. Okay? So once the packet is handled in the application side, the application can decide what to do after they process the packet. So the actions are like a chain to another virtual machine that you want to process in the further in the, different functions, or you can send that packet out by changing the header, or you can discard the packets in the systems. Okay, so all these actions are provided to the applications to decide what to do after packet is processed. Also, the chain the packet delivery is done in the systems. Packets are processed in a sequential way, as I showed in the previous slides. Then the applications in the virtual machine pass the packet descriptors across the virtual machine, and this information goes through the packets, and then finally it can be decided to going outside or discard the to-do, depending on the application. And this happened. This packet processing happened only one application at a time, in order to avoid like a multiple access to the packet. But it's possible also to process the packet in a parallel way if the packet is only handled for the read only, right? Okay. Also, we avoided the locks and the NUMA inefficiencies. How we avoided locks shows this graph. Then we actually match the core and the queue, and each core actually uses different queues. So the one core actually handles only one queue, as you can see from the figure. So the different cores like push the packets into different queues. And this is horizontal queues, but if you think about the queues in the virtual machine, which handles the packet directly, and the core in the hypervisor who pushes the packet information to the queue. So they're actually separating the data structure, so they're only reading and writing in their own area. So there is no lock for that. But that's how we solved the lock problem in the system. And for the NUMA architecture, the reading your packet in the one socket to the other socket, it always invalidate the caches. So if you ping pong the packet, you always have to fill up the cache again, and your processing time will be tremendously increased, right? So we, as you can see from the green boxes and the red boxes, they don't share any the structures inside the system. So the one packet actually processed in the one socket all the time. So it goes to the it follows the path that is aligned with the one socket process and the queues and everything. Okay. All right. So also, as I mentioned, the virtual address space should be mapped from the hypervisor to the the virtual machine. So how we expose this shared memory to the virtual machine is through the PCI device. So the PCI device actually maps this in the linearly. So the consecutive huge pages should be mapped to the non-consecutive the memory in the host. So the how we did is that instead of the looping through these huge pages, we just pre-calculated all the offsets the before, and then we just when packet comes in, we just calculate the instantly with just one line of code. So that's how we avoid the looping. Then we had the high performance in the memory mapping. All right. So we also provide the security domains between the groups of the virtual machine. Some virtual machines can be trusted, some are not. So you divide the shared memory between the groups of the virtual machines. So you only allow the virtual machine belonging to a trusted domain can see the packet. So other virtual machines not belonging to your security domain don't see that the shared memory. So there is no harm to the shared memory between the trusted virtual machines. That's our assumption. Okay. Also, non-trusted VMs just handle the packets in a general way. All right. This is the NetVM the implementation. We had the overly four components. The first one is NetVM, the manager. It handles about the creation of the virtual machine and destruction of the virtual machine. So it monitors that, and it also knows what kind of functions inside it. It gives information about their functions to the virtual machine, so the virtual machine the application in the virtual machine can decide which function will be used for the next process. These things. Okay. Also, the NetVM core has all about the DPDK. It has a handling of the shared memory. It has a shared queue handling, and so it interfaces to the PCI and delivers all the packets and does the core things. And the M-Lady, the PCI device, actually exposes the memory in the hypervisor, and it also has a proprietary the ring between the virtual machine and the hypervisor, so it delivers a packet descriptor between. Also, the last one is a user NetVM library. We give a user the application and a convenient library, so user don't need to worry about the underlying structure, about the queue alignment or the core queue alignment or these things. So user only accept this packet and they process it and simply handle that packet and send it out by having decisions. Okay, let's move to the evaluation. We used the two socket and Helm architecture machines, the 825999 Intel NIC, and the two processors and the six cores inside. We didn't use a hyperthreading, and the two cores are assigned to the receiving package, and the four cores assigned to the transmitting and the forwarding. And total, we used the 8 gigabytes. The huge page is four for each, and only one port is used. And the application was L2, L3 forwarder, and the click user space router, and the firewall, and the packet generator is used. That the packet generator comes from the Wind River systems. So this graph shows how the NetVM performed. As you can see, the NetVM increases the forwarding rate as the input rate increases. So it's linear. We expect more port to add it to the system. It will increase that's linearly. However, the click NetVM shows a 6 gigabps achieved, and then it has overhead and dropping the packets and then slow down from there. So the click NetVM is a modified click that we add the elements in there to interface with our systems. The SRIV is an original system from the DPDK that it achieves almost 5 gigabps. Then it slowed down after that. Is dropping the packets, and native click the click native Linux runs in the physical boxes, and then it shows the poor performance because we actually did not optimize this the click, because you want to see how the click performs after my session. There is a click OS presentation following. You will see the weird performance, and this shows how the system performs when the packet size is changing. So as you can see, the NetVM follows the theoretical line. However, we have a little slowdown in the click on NetVM, but after the 128 packet size, it follows the theoretical line. And this shows the inter-VM forwarding. the performance, so we use the mix of L2, L3, the forwarding, and the custom firewall. The custom firewall does only address filtering. And that, as you can see, after three VMs chained, that our performance degrade because we actually shorten the number of cores that we used for the virtual machines. However, if we we deploy like a little bit realistic the scenario, like 60% chained through the virtual machine, but the 40% like go inside the virtual machine and coming up. Okay, so in that case, we actually perform like almost 10 gigabps for the 5 virtual machines. Okay, this shows how flexible our system is. The load balance based on the queue size of the each virtual machine. So you actually the NetVM the performs like a perfect the load balancing in the system because we have a capability to see the queues of the virtual machines. However, the SRIOB is limited because it has the steady configuration to forward the packet based on the L2 address. All right. This is the last one. Okay, conclusion. We propose an FVM, a high-performance network framework in the virtualized commodity platforms. We have a series of the innovations like a virtual machine-based, high-speed packet delivery, memory sharing framework for the network data, and hypervisor-based switching and high-speed inter-VM communications and the security domains to provide security between virtual machine. Okay, I will stop here, and I will take the questions.
So we have time for a couple of questions.
Again, one from Cisco, and very nice talk. So I've been working on this area too, working on user space drivers and then, operate with the TXRS queue like from the application. I think it's a de facto standard to get the packets like fast getting into the application and then like packet fast actually getting it out. So I know that the reality, but the reality is, this is a question about the programming model. So people are so accustomed to use like socket interface actually to program the networking. And then if you moved on to that area, it's a completely different world. So do you have any perspective about I think the beauty of the previous work actually you mentioned that the NetMap actually the beauty of that is actually you can use like very socket kind of like interface actually to program it, right? So that's my first question. And second question is, before I forget it. So second question is, how many part of the code actually you have to touch to make this work? Did you ever touch that the Intel driver code like from the bottom? Did you ever touch that the hypervisor source code? And then do you have to touch that another actually Intel driver running on the VM? So that's my question.
Okay, thank you. That's good questions. So the first question is how do we deal with these protocol stacks? So these are all the middle boxes targeted. So middle boxes like handle packets by packets, right? However, there are some softwares running in the application like MTCP, the following the presentation, and they provide the user space the network protocols in it, and that's one. And there is like a KNI. That means that once you get the packet, you can actually push that packet into the kernel space. So you can still achieve the same thing, but there is some overhead. So that's a second. So the mostly people actually use the custom the protocol stacks in their systems. So the Wind River, these systems actually, they sell the user space protocol stack. The second thing is how much I touched for the implementation. So we modified some of the functions in the KVM side in order to achieve this the queue and the core alignment. And for the only existing systems, the KVM is modified, and we added the PCI device to the KVM, and we actually didn't touch anything about kernel modules. So we didn't out the kernel space. So we only had this user space I/O, the kernel module to achieve this. So the basic
quick question: do you have to dedicate the one interface to the one VM to make this work, or can you still do that? One traffic from the one interface can go to two VMs.
So we can achieve there are multiple VMs. Yeah, but to see the performance, the maximum performance that we dedicated to the one VM to the one core to the one VM.
And then you still need to touch some code in the driver, like Intel driver.
We should probably take this offline.
Okay, sure.
Thank you. Let's thank the speaker again. Sure.